For our Sunday school responsive reading from God's Word, we read responsively Proverbs chapter 12, verses 15 to 28. And if you would be gracious enough to follow along with us with your Bible open, turn with us to Proverbs chapter 12. I like to look by looking backwards. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, I think we have a pretty good one-liner when it comes to what is found in the book of Proverbs, directly as we are looking at the book of Proverbs. But I would say, overall, from Genesis to Revelation, this is basically what you're going to find. This is the lesson that ought to be learned. And what is that lesson? In the way of the righteous is life. Life. Remember what God told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, around verse 15, 16, 17. God put Adam in a wonderful garden, gave him everything to enjoy. Adam had the privilege and the opportunity of naming all the animals and enjoying everything that God has made. And all that God told him was that this one particular tree, the tree with the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, was off limits. They were not to partake of that one fruit. And the day that they did partake of that fruit, they would die. So with that in mind, look at the verse again. In the way of the righteous, in the way of righteousness is life. In the pathway thereof, there is no death. And so God laid down a pathway. God laid down a charge to the first man, our father, Father Adam. And so Adam had a choice. That choice rested with him. He is truly, outside of Christ, the only real human being who had free will. He had free will, as opposed to what our wills in Adam now are enslaved. Our wills are in bondage. In Adam, because of the fall, all men are dead in sin. They're not struggling in the ocean waiting for you to give them a lifeline, and they're not in a sick bed waiting for you to give them 2 tablespoons of liquid medicine. They're in a casket, and they're in the ground. They are dead. They cannot respond to God in a positive way. But Adam, prior to the fall, truly had free will. He could go either way in his decision. He can either take the path of righteousness, or he can take the path that would lead to death. And we know the rest of the story. And therefore, beloved, when we come to the entire Bible, there's only 2 options given to men today. Life or death. Now, if you look at Hebrew parallelism, notice this. You have the way corresponds to the pathway. Okay? Life is in contrast with death. And so notice, you have 2 ways. Just like in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us there are only 2 gates. There's only 2 pathways, right? And 2 ultimate destinies. There's a narrow gate that leads to life, everlasting life, and a very broad and spacious gate that accommodates anything that man can even devise in his own mind's wickedness. But that leads to a pathway of self-destruction, pain, misery, all kinds of afflictions that men bring upon themselves, all kinds of addictions and hurts and pains and whatever. But in the end, it leads to eternal death in the lake of fire. And so I would say that verse 28 is a good verse that summarizes the entire scripture, let alone the book of Proverbs. Because in the book of Proverbs now, we're in that part of Proverbs where Solomon simply looks around him and he sees these little antidotes of life that kind of work itself out. Truisms that, if followed, lead to the ultimate consequence of that truism. Now, we began all the way back in our reading here this morning, back to verse, 15? Notice, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And that goes for all of us. I would say even for the saint as well as for the sinner, there are times and seasons when we hold to a particular position, or we might hold to a certain way of thinking, and we automatically assume that our way, our thoughts, our position is the only way. But in this case, in verse 15, we're looking at the person who unfortunately is outside of Christ. It says the way of the fool, okay? The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But, now comes the contrast, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We are currently doing a exposition of Acts chapter 18. And we've come now to the portion where Apollos leaves Alexandria and finds himself in the city of Ephesus, boldly and with much eloquency, the truth of God's word in the synagogue there in Ephesus. A Christian couple, Aquila and Priscilla, hear him, either heard of him or heard him while in the synagogue, and were taken by this man's eloquency and his knowledge of the way of the Lord. But they noticed he had some gaps. He had some missing information in his preaching. And so they took him. And he was willing to be taken by them, as we shall see. And they expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And then off he goes to Corinth with letters of commendation and recommendation. Now, why am I saying all this? Because starting in today's series, in this mini-series of Acts 18, we're going to look at the subject of teachability. Are Christians teachable? Are you teachable? And what do we find in verse 15? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And part of the way of the fool is his sincerity. And I've noticed that a lot of people are quite sincere in their positions. Very, very sincere. But beloved, sincerity is never found in the Bible as the yardstick on whether or not your position is true or not. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy word, thy word is truth. God's word is the final arbitrator. God's word is the final authority on any issue, any position of life at all, beloved. And so there are many people today who darken our churches with all kinds of positions, all kinds of approaches to God. But the final analysis is that approach something that God sanctions? But you might say, but Pastor, these people are awfully sincere. Well, I would imagine they are. Cain was quite sincere when he killed Abel. David and Bathsheba were very sincere in their embracement of love. Judas was quite sincere in his plot to force Jesus into a corner by betraying him. Saul of Tarsus was very sincere when he persecuted the church at Jerusalem, wanting to erase it off the map. Sincerity is never the standard. The standard is Scripture. So when it comes to our worship, when it comes to our approach to God, when it comes to our preaching and all that we do, God's Word is to be the compass, the rudder, and the sail, and the wheel to our decision making. That's how it ought to be, not sentimentality or sincerities. Well, may God in the final analysis be pleased to bless his word. Amen.